This is why we can understand from what was written years ago that when he ascended back to heaven, he led a procession of those who had formerly been captives and gave gifts to those who were to continue the work of his kingdom here on earth. We need to understand that before he ascended to heaven, Christ first descended to where the souls were kept waiting for the release he alone could give. Yes, he who has descended there to free them is the same Lord who ascended to the highest place in heaven so that the whole universe could be filled with his glory. This same Lord Jesus appointed some of those who belonged to him to be apostles, others to be those who he could speak prophetically to his people. Some were anointed to be evangelists, others he'd made pastors, still others he made teachers. All these various ministries have a common purpose. They are to prepare God's people to serve him, happily doing the works God prepared for them. You see, God has prepared a work for you. God has prepared something for every single one of you to accomplish. And I believe that what God wants is for us to understand by getting into that place where we begin to accept what God says about us, who we are in Christ, that I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but he lives in me. Understanding the way that he has called and chosen, but he's prepared a work for you to do that only you can fulfill. I can't fulfill your work. Only you can fulfill your work that God has planned for you. Before the creation, before the beginning of time, he called you, he chose you. He appointed you to fulfill a task that only you can fulfill. It's amazing that God Almighty at the beginning of time knew who you were, knew what was going to happen in the 21st century, in 2014, 2015, and on, so on. He knew that. He knew the gifts that he was going to place in you. He knew where he was going to, the gifts that he was going to give you, the talents that he was going to place in your hands. Whether it's accountancy, whether it's teacher, whether it's theater. All of these gifts, musicians, speakers, people who can teach, some people who are brilliant with children, some people who are just fantastic in the hospitality. All of these gifts are for a common to build his saints, to build his church. God builds his church, of course he does, but he uses you. We're the flesh. We're the ones that he uses to be in a place where we cooperate with him in his building of church. But you see, when we do this together, there's a unity. And when there's a unity, God commands blessing. You see, when I get excited about this because I love the church. You see, when you and me do our bit, God comes and does his bit. God sometimes is waiting for us just to cooperate with him, come into alignment with his plan and his purpose for your life and for mine. Whether it's worship, whether it's coming to pray, whether it's, you know, just in our fellowship after the church service and we just have chat, we have coffee. You know, that still can be a time where you can release the word of God into another situation, another person's life. Because it's not just from the front that this is taking place. This is all of us doing our bit to see God build his church so that he again fills his church with his glory. So that the actual world may know that we are truly his because of that unity amongst us. Again, it's coming to alignment with his plan because it is. In John, it talks about, you know, when we are in unity with one another, God will command a blessing and the world will then take note of the glory within his church, and they will then come into that place where they too will want to know about the glory. They will want to be introduced to the God who brings such a unity amongst his people. See, this is not about a denominational tag. This is not just about saying Kingdom Faith or Methodist or Hillsong or whatever. This is about the kingdom of God coming on earth as it is in heaven. This is about the kingdom of God coming into your life and my life, where that flows out of us because we are fulfilling God's plan, God's purpose for your life and my life, so that together there is a unity coming around a common purpose, and that common purpose has to be the kingdom of God, which is Jesus Christ. It's got to be based around who Jesus is. Because actually, Jesus Christ is the answer for every need out there. All of these people walking around London tonight, the answer that they're looking for is Jesus Christ. They're looking elsewhere. They're looking for different things. They're looking for through alcohol, drugs, or sex, or whatever. They are, you know, sometimes it's businessmen in London, isn't it? That they're just looking for career. They're looking for finance. They're looking for success in that sense. But actually what they're craving for, that with deep within them, they're looking for something. And Jesus Christ is the answer to them. People out there, they're fearful. What does it say in the scriptures? Perfect love casts out all fear. Who is the perfect love? Jesus Christ. Who is the one that can provide? Jesus is our provider. Who is the one that gives graciously to his children? Who is the one that gives hope? It's Jesus. And so the answer is always Jesus. It's always Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. But you see, one of the things that we've got to do is that we, you know, sometimes our words aren't enough anymore, are they? Seriously. I mean, we could go out on the street, all of us now. And we could start talking, and sometimes people will just dismiss our words, walk away. Others may just have a little bit of a laugh, and they may have a joke. Some might curse or swear at us for trying stopping them in their tracks. But you see, one of the things that, you know, the word says is that, you know, you will know my disciples. They will know that we are his disciples when we love one another. When there is a demonstration in here of a love together, a common unity around who Jesus Christ is, then people out there will know that we are his disciples when there is such a deep love that we have for everyone here. Every one part of this church, this community. You see, sometimes, you know, when we hear that, you know, these things, when the word sort of says, you know, you know, people will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. But we can quote that scripture, can't we? A lot of us can quote that scripture very, very easily. And, you know, we often can just dismiss different aspects of scripture without actually taking hold of the true meaning of what God is saying to us through them. See, I believe the greatest and the most effective evangelistic tool that we have is God's love that he places in our hearts and our lives. I do. I believe that that is our greatest evangelistic weapon, but actually the Church of Jesus Christ right across this country used different methods. And please, I'm not decrying anything that God does in people's lives as a result of traditional methods of evangelism. I praise God for every life that has been changed. I praise God for everybody who's been healed and been set free through the truth of Jesus Christ. But I do believe that there is certain things within Scripture that when we get hold of Scripture in a way that God intends and what God desires, and we take them seriously, I believe that there will be such a transforming work within his church that his glory will come upon each one of us, and together there will be something so unique, so attractive of his church that people out there will want to know what's going on here. God will bring them in. Now, please, I'm not saying that we don't go out, but we do, I believe, need to align ourselves up with the Word of God. And one of that is every one of us matters. Every one of us has a part to play, like we've just been reading. And you know, yes, some people are apostles. Yes, some people are teachers. But you see, every one of us is not here for our own self. We're here to please God, like Pastor Colin was saying a couple of weeks ago. You know, we're here to do everything that we can to be in a place where God can do what he chooses in our lives, through our lives, so that his glory is seen in everything that takes place. So we have a common purpose. That common purpose is to make Jesus known in every situation, every circumstance, no matter where and what we do, what God asks of us, it's still the purpose is to make Jesus known. We have that common purpose to serve him. And we are to encourage others to come into that place of serving him too. Jesus Christ was the greatest servant of all, Philippians chapter 2. And I really believe that the heart of what God wants to do in his church again is to bring back that servant heart. Right back to the centrality of who we are. So that we're coming, yes, because the principle of God's kingdom is what you sow, you reap. But you see, one of the things that I really believe in his church is that, you know, we need to come with that expectation is that, how am I going to be used tonight, Lord? How am I going to serve the furthering of your kingdom purposes tonight? How am I going to further the work of your kingdom in the way that I am, the way that I worship, the way that I speak to the people around me? So many people in our nation go to church because it's what can I get out of it? Instead of, Lord, you've placed your spirit in me, so what can I give to you tonight? How can I serve the people that you are going to place me around? The heart of service, I believe, needs to come right back at the heart of the church. This is what will enable the body of Christ to be built up in the way he desires and will bring people into unity in their faith, sharing in the common knowledge and experience of God's Son. Having servant hearts shows that people are mature in their life in Christ. And they are able to enjoy everything God has made available to us in him. The fullness of his life that he came to impart. See, I believe God wants all of us to be mature believers. But scripture says this attitude of service and a servant heart is a mature believer takes these views. Not an immature one, but a mature believer. You know, if I have two daughters, they are grown up now. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, I would be concerned about if that they got to the age of 9, 10 and they stopped growing, that they stayed at a 10-year-old height, I'd get concerned. So what's going on? I'd take her to the doctor to get a bit of investigation. Why have they stopped growing? You know, if they had, if, you know, there was a 10-year-old in there, I would ask those questions. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, what God wants for his church, his people, his children, is to understand that, you know, what his desire, his heart is for people to continue to grow and mature so that we as believers don't stay as a 10-year-old. We don't stay as a 14-year-old. We don't even stay as a 17, 18-year-old. But we are people who are constantly allowing the Holy Spirit to bring a maturing in our spirituality, our active service. Because you see, a person who's mature will take a view of his church, his body. It's not my words, is it? Having servant hearts shows that people are mature in the life in Christ. Not my words. That's chapter 4, verse, can't even see the verses in here, 10 to 13, something like that. So you can read that verse yourself a little bit later. This is the true version that I'm reading from at this moment in time. But you see, I believe that God wants maturity to come to you and me tonight, where we understand that actually there is a job for us to do. And actually that requires us all to be part of what he's wanting us to do, so that actually in the serving, we're growing in maturity. We're growing in the things of God, so that the fullness of his life that he has come to impart. Those who are mature in the way this way will no longer be like immature toddlers, easily swayed and pulled this way and that. They will not be like corks bobbing about on the sea, or like falling leaves that are at the mercy of any wind that blows them around. Immature people are like that because they do not have a grasp of the truth of God's word. So I want to just encourage you to get into the word, so that you're not like a cork bobbing in the sea. You're not like a leaf that is blown here and there with every doctrine of teaching, that you go running after the next doctrine, you go after the next church. In our part of the world, sometimes you have people just going from one church to another church. I don't believe that is a mature believer who does that. Going with the wind, wherever the wind takes you. I believe that the scripture says that is an immature person, not a mature person. Now, please do not get me wrong saying that you can't go and God does not send different people to different churches. But when God plants you into a body, I personally believe that the word of God talks about a mature believer just then doesn't go from one thing to another. But they stay true so that they can be part of the building process that God wants for his body in that particular place, in that particular location. Because I want, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants each and every one of you to be mature believers tonight, who grasp the truth of God's word. That's why this gentleman on Merv Thomas, who spoke on Sunday, really struck my heart here. Because it's just like, Lord, I need to make sure that I am a person of your word. So that I know that if somebody is saying something contrary to the word of God, then I'm not going to be swayed by that particular teaching. But I'm going to stick true to the word of God, because I'm going to be in this every day. And I believe that if I'm in this every day, then the Holy Spirit will make sure that I read the right passages at the right time, so that my understanding of how and what God wants for me and what God wants for you, I believe he can take me to the right passage that I need for that very day. Do you agree? Do you believe that God can, if you open the word or open the tablet nowadays? But, you know, I really do believe that the Holy Spirit can direct us to the right place. And that would be our food for that day. But I believe that food is not just something that, you know, like with a mother bird, that it regurgitates, doesn't it? The food that it takes in so that it can then give to an infant. And I really believe that what God is wanting for his church, his body, is for us to be a people who are always looking, okay, God, you've sown into my life. Father, I want to now give that away. Who is it that needs this particular piece of revelation? Who needs that encouragement that you've just given to me? And you see, I believe that principle of sowing what God gives you, God is not going to allow you not to reap in return. Because it's a biblical principle of sowing and reaping. And that's not just finance. I believe that's your time. And God is never going to be outgiven, because that's not his nature. That's not the God of the kingdom. The God of the kingdom, the God of the word, is somebody who is not going to allow you to outgive him in any way, shape, or form. And please, I'm not just talking about money there. I'm talking about your generosity, your hospitality. I'm talking about your energy. I'm talking about your time with other people, where I know that there's people who will spend, you know, a long time on the phone encouraging people. God is going to give back to you. He's going to give back to you. Because of those things are important to God. But please, this is the word. Because I don't want you to be easily swayed by the latest fashion in spiritual teaching. Oh, goodness me. There is so many different fashions in churches today, isn't there? But we just need to stay true to the word of God. But this is again, so they're not easily swayed by the latest fashion in spiritual teaching. They are not deceived by those who want to manipulate and use them and their money for their own ends. The mature are not like that. They speak the truth to others. What is the truth? It's the word of God, isn't it? The word of God brings freedom. It brings release. So the mature are not like that. They are people who are going to be speaking to others out of a love for them. So heart motive is right, isn't it? That's another important thing that we're learning here, that actually our heart motive's got to be right. That heart motive has got to be of love. So they speak the truth to others out of a love for them, and therefore in a loving way. So not judgmental, not critical. See, when you love people, and when you got God's heart of love, God, I've never known God to condemn me. No matter what I've done and what I've said, what I've done, how I've acted, how I've responded. I've never, ever heard God condemn me. Because he is a God who is not negative. Now he corrects me. But correction is a positive thing, not a negative thing. And I don't care what anybody has done in this room tonight. God, my Father, does not condemn you. There may be consequences to decisions that you make, but that's not God condemning you. That's just a consequence to some of our own actions. But God does not condemn. God has a heart of love for you, and his heart is to bring you back into the right relationship where you are totally in his loving arms, totally under his forgiveness. And you see, that's where the mature ones understand these truths. And therefore, they do not go from left to right, because the motive of God is love. And therefore, our motive for one another is love. They are believers who keep growing in their faith. Again, maturing. They're healthy. Becoming more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body to which they belong. From him, the head, the whole body is to draw together in unity. Every part is to fulfill its function in love for the health of the whole body. And this is accomplished by each fulfilling the work Christ has appointed for him or for her. It's great, isn't it? Don't you understand? You have a part to play. We have a part to play together, but you matter. Your part matters. Your gift matters. How you use your gift matters. Because it's using your gift for his service, for him. You know, we can go through the parable of the talent. Somebody had one talent, the other one two, the other five. The mature believer does not hide his talent, but says, God, how can I use this talent? Even if you think you only have one talent, you still need to be using it. And God does not want that hidden or buried or just sort of say, oh, it's no use. I've only got one talent. It's no point in me using my one talent. Please, please, mature believers use the talent because of the motivation is love for the other people around them. God motivated. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That was the motive of the Father for you and me, that he gave his son. And the motive that God wants for you and for me is that motive of love, where we are giving out of a motive of love so that we can see one another build up, so that they can then fulfill their part, so that together we fulfill our part, so that his glory then can come, that the world will then see and know that we are his disciples. And that love will compel others to come into that environment. Simples, isn't it? Simples. Oh, it's great, the word of God, isn't it? Oh, Father, thank you. Now, I've had my 35 minutes. Now I will tell you something so important that I insist in the Lord's name that you respond to what I say. You must no longer live in the way that those who belong to the world live. Worldly thinking is futile. Worldly people live in spiritual darkness without understanding God's purposes. They do not possess his life, and they remain in ignorance. Because their hearts are hardened, they resist the truth of the gospel. They have no spiritual sensitivity because of the way they indulge their sensual appetites. So they indulge themselves in pleasing their flesh, their natural desires in all kinds of impurity. They are never satisfied, but constantly lust after ways that are even more ungodly. You never came to know Christ by living in such ways. No, you heard about him when you were taught the truth of the gospel. For the truth is only to be found in Jesus. As far as your former way of life is concerned, you were taught from the very beginning to put off your old sinful nature. That old self-life was corrupted by deceitful desires. Indeed, you were made new with totally different mindset. And you made the decisions to put on the new life which enables you to become what God wants you to be, living in ways that are right in his eyes, being his whole people, holy people, set apart from the world to live for the life of his kingdom here on earth. So it is essential for each of you to rid yourselves completely of everything that is false and instead speak truthfully to others, for we are all members of the body of Christ, a body of truth. It is said, even if you are angry, do not sin. Do not hold on to your anger. Be rid of it before the end of the day. Otherwise, you could give the devil a foothold to take advantage of you. Anyone who used to steal in his old life must, of course, no longer steal. Instead, he must have a proper job, working for his living by doing something useful with his hands. then instead of taking, he will have something to give to needy people. Do not speak out of an impure or critical way. Instead of mouthing unclean or negative things, speak in a way that will encourage and benefit others because you are addressing their needs. And do not grieve God's Holy Spirit in any way. Remember, you have had the seal of the Holy Spirit placed on you to keep you walking in God's ways until the day when he takes you to be with himself. Rid yourself of every negative talk, being bitter in your attitudes, being angry and resentful. Do not get into disputes with others, especially physical ones. Do not slander others or have malicious attitudes towards them. Instead, being kind and compassionate to one another, always keep ready to forgive in the same way that through Christ, God has always been willing to forgive you. I was going to read chapter 5 too, but time is running out. Can you all stand, please? Because I think it's just important to understand that words and actions go hand in hand. That there is always what God is looking for is our response. Every situation, it's our response that God's looking for. Are we going to respond to his Holy Spirit, what he says to us? God wants each and every one of us to be mature believers. Mature believers are people who are going to be dedicated to his word, to the truth. So that the winds of teaching and different things that are being spoken about, different things that come through different ministries, that each and every one of them needs to align up with the word of God. Father, I just ask you that you will do a heart work in each and every one of us. Lord, that you will do a work that and bring an understanding. Father, it's just like, Lord, that we just need our eyes to be open, Father, Lord, to the reality of who you are in a fresh and new way. Lord, I only can pray for myself. And you guys need to just pray your own prayers here. But I only can pray for myself, Lord, and I just know, Father, Lord, that you are wanting to do something in your church, your body, here in United Kingdom and in Europe. Lord, that you are wanting to do something that is, oh Lord, again, something that you've placed in your word regarding this unity. Father, Lord, that there is something that you're wanting to do where, Lord, that we're not coming to just what we can get out of a meeting, but Lord, that we come to serve. We come with that attitude. We come with that heart. And Father, because we come with that heart and we come with that attitude, Father, Lord, we just know that you're not going to, oh Lord, let us outgive you. And Father, we just know that in return, you're going to speak right into our situations that we're currently going through. But Lord, we just know, Father, Lord, we just got to understand, Father, Lord, that when we come into this place, you are wanting such a unity of love. You are wanting, Father, Lord, to come around a common purpose. That common purpose is to please you in every way. In our worship, in our lifestyle, in the way that we respond, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we communicate. So that, Father, Lord, that you present yourself amongst us. And Father, because you presence yourself amongst us, Father, Lord, that you will do something so sovereign, so supernatural, Father, Lord, that in that place where your glory descends upon your people, Father, I just thank you, healing will take place. There's somebody that has been got quite a lot of irritation behind one of your eyes. God's saying, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. There's somebody who sort of, even when you were walking here, you felt a twinge. I believe it's in one of your knees. And it was just like you hadn't had it before, not today. You might have had it in previous weeks and months, but it was first time today you felt such a twinge in your knee again. I just really believe because you've been giving to God in worship, he's now going to give to you in healing. Amen. So in the name of Jesus, I just speak to that knee right now and I tell it to be whole in the name of Jesus. There's somebody here with an irregular heartbeat. And you've had it diagnosed recently. And I just really believe God's sort of saying that I'm going to sort that out for you. Why? Because I'm wanting to give to you. I believe that's a gentleman. But I believe God's sort of saying, I want to give to you. And I believe that other people need to hear those words too. This is the Father God, God Almighty, wants to give to you. Wants to give to you. Somebody else with, I'm not sure if you're a typist or something like that, but you... there's a particular word now that describes where people use their hands a lot, and it becomes quite painful to use typewriter, you know, not typewriters, that shows my age, but you know, the keypads and keyboards. And I just really believe God's saying, I want to use your hands for my purpose, and so therefore I give you full use of your hands once more. I release it from pain because I have a purpose for your hands. And your hands are to be used for my glory and for my purpose. And I need them whole. So I give to you tonight. I release my healing anointing upon you. See, when we align ourselves with God's plan, God does not disappoint us. God will never disappoint us if we keep our eyes fixed upon him. When we waver, if we go from the left to the right, that's when we can get our eyes off him. That's when things can begin to go slightly wrong. And if we don't adjust it very, very quickly, then they can go in a way that God does not intend. But you see, God continues to release his forgiveness. His amazing forgiveness. And that's why Holy Communion is such an important thing. And I'm going to be passing it back to John in 2 seconds. But as we take communion tonight together, and I'm not sure what John's going to say, but I really believe that when we remember the bread, which is the body of Christ, when we take hold of the cup, and we continue to understand the centrality of Jesus Christ, I believe that other people are going to hear different things from the Lord as you take it tonight. That is going to be a key word into your situation. And I believe that the Ephesians chapter 4 scripture that we've read, that there are things within that scripture that God is going to highlight. When you take the bread, when you drink of the cup tonight, God is just going to just go, it's just like a light will come on with a word or two or a sentence. that will actually just help you to understand where you are at this moment in time, and to help you. Because I really believe God's sort of saying, I want to be there for you. I want to be there for you. I want to be right there to help you in your journey. Because you matter to me. You belong to me. So I'm wanting to speak into your heart, into your situation. But as you give, as you receive, as you give and you receive, I believe God is going to speak different things into different people's lives and situations.